Hey, and welcome to The Living Stone, a digital ministry from Greystone Baptist Church in Raleigh, North Carolina. Here's this week's scripture reading and sermon.
Our scripture this morning is from Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, asking, "Where is the child who has been born king of the Jews? For we observed his star at its rising and have come to pay him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all Jerusalem with him. And calling together all of the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them, "Where is the Messiah? Where was the Messiah to be born?" They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea. For so it has been written by the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel.' Then Herod secretly called for the wise men and learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, 'Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring word so that I may also go and pay him homage.' When they had heard the king, they set out. And there ahead of them went the star that they had seen at its rising, until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw that the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. Then, opening their treasure chest, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road." The word of God for the people of God.
Some of you may have seen on the prayer list, the bulletins were printed on December the 17th. So this isn't planned, but I think I'm learning a lesson, which is not to title a sermon, "The Road Isn't Straight," before taking a long road trip. So I want to share some thoughts and some lessons from along the way, along the theme of the road. Have you ever thought about following a star? A better question maybe, have you ever actually tried to follow a star? I know we talk about it every year around this time. Epiphany is the week of following a star. We read the story of the Magi, the mysterious travelers from the east who followed the star which led them straight to Bethlehem. I know we talk about it every time, every year, this time, but have you ever actually tried to follow a star? I think we seem to be more of a GPS kind of people rather than stargazing people, but even navigation by GPS can pose its own set of challenges. I can remember one road trip that Justin and I took a long, long time ago when we were much younger. We were trying a new route to visit his family from Charlotte, where my family was, so Charlotte to Houston, Texas. We had grown bored with the usual road trip pathways, which led us down I-20 or I-10. The southern routes, we knew them really well, but this particular time we decided to take a different route, I-40, which led us straight through Memphis, the land of blues and barbecue. We were young, and all we could see was adventure. But when we told my dad our plans, all he could see was concern. "Do you know which neighborhood you're going to be staying in?" he wanted to know. "Do you know what time you're going to get there? It's going to be dark. You know, you've a long day ahead of you. Have you downloaded all the maps to your Garmin?" This was when you had to download the maps. They didn't just happen automatically like they do in our phones these days. But we assured my dad we'd done all of our homework. We felt good about our plan. But the reality was we only thought we had done all of our homework. And when we pulled into Memphis under the cover of darkness after a long day of driving, the screen on the Garmin went blank. The GPS was totally blank. We thought we had downloaded the update. Turns out we hadn't. So we were in Memphis with no idea where exactly we were and no idea how to get where we thought we wanted to go. See, even with the latest technology, there can be problems along the journey. Just last week, when we were driving out to Marble Falls, west of Austin, again, visiting our family in Texas, it was my turn to drive, and we were in Louisiana, almost to Shreveport. It should have been easy. We had the map pulled up with new technology, which does automatically update regularly and paste the map onto the screen of the car. I had it set even to a place where I could see the speed limit, not only my directions, but the speed limit and the speed I was going at the time. But as we neared the city, the gray skies, which had been looming up on the horizon, turned a little grayer, and they started to produce the rain that we'd been anticipating for quite a while. Traffic slowed just a little bit, but not a lot, and we saw a police car over on the shoulder with the lights on, a warning of sorts to pay attention. Next came a network of orange cones and flashing arrow lights signaling a lane was about to end. And as soon as all the traffic from the far right lane merged into the middle lane, another network of cones and flashing lights signaling that what was once three lanes of westbound traffic was now one lane. And get this, when I say one lane, I want you to understand. These weren't cushy lanes with yellow cones and broad shoulders. These were the skinniest lanes, singular, you can imagine, with concrete barriers on both sides for multiple miles, the concrete barriers sitting on the white lines. Did I tell you we were towing our camper? Realizing that our perimeters were only inches from both concrete barriers, the whole way through Shreveport, Louisiana, I gripped the steering wheel and learned what white-knuckle driving actually is. I instructed Mia and Justin not to say a single word, and I tried my best to keep my eyes on the road ahead without giving in to the temptation to check the mirrors to see just how close those tire bumpers were to those concrete barriers. This went on for miles. It was the scariest driving I have done in 25 years behind the wheel, but we finally made it through without scraping the side, thank you. And when we got through and the way opened up, I took one hand off the wheel so that everyone could bear witness to how much it was shaking. Like the Magi who followed that star to Bethlehem, I knew in my gut we were going to have to go home by another way. Not doing that again. No turning around that way. Cannot go back the same way that we came. Matthew's beautiful words. They went home by another way. The Magi followed a star to get to Bethlehem. They didn't have a fancy GPS or a car screen. They followed a star to get to Bethlehem, a path that led them straight through Jerusalem, where they conversed with the king and perhaps even got a glimpse about the insecurities he manifested about another kind of king who may have been born in Bethlehem. But the Magi journeyed on, following the star until it stopped, and then they stopped to worship and offer their gifts. We know so little about what actually happened with those visitors in Bethlehem. The text says they were overwhelmed by joy. They entered the house where they saw Jesus and his mother Mary. They knelt down to pay him homage. They offered their gifts, and then they left. I wonder if Willie Nelson's On the Road Again was playing in their ancient AirPods. Tradition has helped to fill in some of the gaps of the mystery of this story for us, but we still have some questions. Were there three travelers, or were there just three gifts? It's not clear. And some traditions say there were maybe 12 magi. 12, like the number of disciples, like the number of tribes of Israel. You know, 12, the number of completion. I kind of like that tradition. Some traditions call them astrologers. I mean, they were following a star, right? Some traditions call them magicians, some intellectuals, some call them religious advisors. Some traditions give them names. Isn't that right, Dennis and Ramona? But the only thing we really know about these travelers is that they were foreigners who came from the East. They were Gentiles. They were journeyers, they were pilgrims, just like us. And also, just like us, what these faithful pilgrims learned along the way is that often there is no turning back, no backing out, no edit undo function. They couldn't go back the way they came. The journey would lead them home, as Matthew says so beautifully, home by another way. And we can't know for sure because Matthew doesn't give us all the details, but I would almost guarantee you that the road they took by another way wasn't exactly straight. It never is. Especially when your only GPS is your recollection of a dream. Maybe that's even harder than following a star. Well, we actually did take another way home around Shreveport. The 220 bypass worked beautifully. There were three wide, generous lanes, minimal traffic. It wasn't pouring down rain at all. The sun actually shone beautifully until it set behind us, and we were able to see the fireworks on the horizon of that beautiful city. Oh, and the best part is Justin drove. Literally, we came home by every other way possible where Shreveport was concerned. But what's more, on the return trip from Texas, when we were headed east, looking at the eastern sky, the night offered a familiar constellation, Orion, immediately identifiable by the three stars that make up Orion's belt. Each night of our journey home, the sun set and the stars came out, and I saw Orion through the windshield, sometimes right in the center, sometimes off to the passenger side, but always up ahead. And don't worry, we were still following the GPS. We were not relying on Orion to lead us home. But with the Magi on my mind and the long journey ahead, I couldn't help but appreciate the convergence of the stories and the guidance of the stars. You see, following a star and following a dream, they're similar engagements, right? Both offer us large-scale targets that hang just atop the horizon, just enough so that we can fix our gaze upon them as we travel, but neither dreams nor stars offer turn-by-turn directions. You know, they say that the shortest route between two points is a straight line, which is, say, the shortest distance between here and there is a straight line. But everybody knows that when you're driving on a journey, if you were to take a literal straight line, you would go straight into a forest or a house or a strip mall or maybe even an unwelcome concrete barrier, forcing you to take turns you didn't want to take. Following a star and following a dream require us to accept those turns and pivots as part of the journey, even when they are U-turns that make us feel like we're going in exactly the wrong direction. When these moments come, we have to have faith that the star and the dream still do hang just up ahead. And we have to have faith that if we keep our gaze fixed upon them, the next steps between here and there will show themselves when the time arrives to pick up our feet and move them forward. Sometimes there are going to be bumps along the way, nails in the road that cause a flat tire if you follow us on Facebook. Doors that seemed right close just as you're about to walk through. Losses that mount, making your feet feel heavy and tied to the ground behind you. Or maybe that inexplicable gut feeling that the obvious and logical and sensible path just isn't right for you right now. Following a star and following a dream can sometimes feel like a master class in those elusive spiritual gifts of discernment and courage. Because we can see the end goal, we can see the big picture, we can see the constellation, but we can't always see with 100% clarity the next step. We just have to trust that when we do take that next step in faith, God is with us. Which is perhaps why the story of the Magi plays such a prominent role in the narrative of our faith. It's all about the journey, friends. And we are, after all, a bunch of pilgrims anyway, aren't we? To quote my good friend and weekly sermon reader, Ben Boswell, Jesus' invitation could have been 1,000 things. Ben says, Jesus' invitation could have been 1,000 things. Love me, worship me, imitate me. But it wasn't. It was always follow me. A journey is always implied. And it's never a straight line or a road without peril and U-turns and delays and roadblocks and setbacks, but the journey itself is the point. Jesus' invitation is, follow me. Much like the Magi, we have journeyed long to the manger. And on Christmas, we received the gift of incarnation, God made flesh, Emmanuel, God here with us. And the journey was unique to each and every one of us, some of us sharing with our friends the pieces that helped get us here, the pieces that tied us to the ground behind. Everyone's journey unique. But in that Christmas encounter, when we made it to the manger, we were overwhelmed by all the gifts of the journey, the hope, the peace, the love, and the joy. And in our experience, we have worshiped God with all that we have, all that we could muster, offering our gifts and our whole selves and celebrating the abundance of all of that as the miracle of Christmas. And now that season comes to an end. Just as a new year begins. And so we find ourselves, as Willie Nelson said, on the road again. We actually do listen to that song every morning of a road trip. On our return trip from Texas, even though we came home by a different way, even though Shreveport was much better the second time, we still encountered some hiccups. Our 2-day trip turned into a 3-day trip because we had a flat tire somewhere near Waco. And then the next day, a camper key, the only camper key that we have, by the way, which broke completely in half as we were locking up a storage compartment before we hit the road, which meant we had to get it fixed if we wanted a place to sleep that night. But both hiccups led to places of surprising joy and a whole lot of laughter. I mean, what else can you do, right? And I want you to know that the Discount Tire in Waco, they plugged the tire, fixed it in about an hour, and got us back on the road. The Camping World in Jackson, Mississippi pulled the broken key out and just so happened to have one copy of exactly the same key that we needed, and they gave it to us. Neither place charged us a penny. Both of these were little tiny reminders of goodness and kindness and generosity and solidarity and community, which is there all along the way. Sometimes we need those reminders a little more than we think. That's the whole point of the star word tradition. That we might come to the table, which is so often, this table, which is so often a place of nourishment where we find bread and drink. It's a place of nourishment and renewal. But today it offers us a different kind of renewal. Rather than bread and juice, today the table offers us a word that we might take for the journey ahead, not knowing what the word is and not knowing what the journey might bring, only knowing that it's probably not going to be straight. The words on these little cards are turned upside down so that they can surprise us as a gift itself. And so in just a moment, as we rise and sing our carol of response, I invite you all to come down and prayerfully remember and give thanks for the journey that brought you here. Give thanks for the gifts that you acquired along the way. Give thanks for the opportunities that you have had to share those gifts out. And then pray that you might find the right word and that you might know the right place so that you will see it at the right time. And that somehow, in God's own mystery, God's presence might be made a little more real to you through that word. Friends, we don't know what the journey's going to be. But we do know that Jesus' invitation could have been 1,000 things. It could have been, love me, worship me, imitate me. But it was, follow me. A journey is always implied. So friends, come. Here at the beginning of your journey, come and bring all the faith that you have to this table of God's grace and see if one of these words might just become a guiding star. Come now. Amen.